Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
A few years into the church I started in Virginia Beach, Virginia, we hired me a new administrative assistant named Julie. I knew of her, but didn't really know her. She had a really good reputation and great resume. On her very first day at work, she was sitting in her office, which was directly connected to my office. There was a wall between us, but just an open door, so we could talk to each other, but we couldn't see each other. And I just so happened that day to have a big bag of Whoppers, malted milk balls. And so early that morning, trying to be nice, it's her first day, I said, "Hey, Julie, do you like Whoppers?" And she said, it was kind of like a short, awkward pause, I guess I'd say. And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Oh, cool, me too. I've got a whole big bag of them in here. If you want some, would you like some?" And she, after a long, awkward pause, said, no thanks. And so I felt kind of bad. I thought, well, she doesn't feel comfortable enough with me yet to take, you know, Whoppers from me. But I didn't let on that I felt bad. And so I said, "Okay, well, if you want some later, I've got like a ton of them. You can have a bunch." And there was a very long, very awkward pause. And finally she said, "Oh, okay, thanks." And so like a half hour, an hour went by. And then Julie walked into my office, saw the bag sitting there and said, "Oh, you meant Whoppers. I thought you meant Whoppers." I couldn't understand why you had a whole bag of them and thought that I would want to eat a bunch of Whoppers. And it was kind of funny, and I realized that the reason it happened is because there were some barriers to communication that caused the problem. We knew of each other, but didn't really know each other. We weren't used to talking to each other. There was a wall between us. We couldn't see each other while we were communicating. I used a confusing word. And the whole thing reminds me of prayer, because I think there are some similar barriers when we pray. Like, you might know of God, but not really know God. You may not be used to talking to God or listening to God. You can't see Him when you talk to Him. Some people feel like they have to use special prayer words, Bible words, that can be confusing. So we are in week two, a brand new series we just started called The Cost of Not. And it's based on this idea, this misconception, that to be a Christian, to follow Jesus, is the more difficult way to live your life. Now, Jesus does teach us that there are some things He wants us to do that can be challenging. Forgive your enemies, love your neighbor, give sacrificially. You know, those actions may not be easy, especially if you have habits and emotions that are kind of pulling you in the opposite direction. But Jesus didn't teach that His way of life is more difficult. He didn't. Last week we looked at this verse from the Bible where Jesus is speaking and He talks about us living yoked to Him. The idea of yoked is that you're connected to Him. And here's what He says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 and 30. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke," being connected to me, "is easy, and my burden is light." And so what Jesus is saying is that living life with Him, learning a way of life from Him, His way of life, is the less burdensome, less difficult way to live your life. Jesus would say that there's a greater cost. Yes, there's a cost to following Him, but the greater cost would be to not follow Him, to not live His way of life. And today we're going to talk about the cost of not praying, the cost of not praying. Now, I realize that we all probably have some assumptions and some misconceptions and some struggles with prayer. Maybe you grew up in a home where prayer felt like an obligation. Prayer in your home wasn't something you get to do, it was something you have to do. And so you have to pray in the morning or at night or before your meal. So when prayer comes up, you kind of have this sense of obligation, maybe even a sense of guilt about prayer. Or perhaps you want to pray, but you struggle to know what to say. You know, you assume there's certain like words we should say, or are we supposed to like quote Bible verses or something, and I'm not really sure how to do it or what to say. Or maybe you find yourself distracted. It's hard to find time to pray, and then when you do pray, you're going to find your mind just wandering off to other things. Or maybe you're a little cynical about prayer. Maybe there was a time you really needed something from God, and you asked, and you prayed, and you asked, and you prayed, and he didn't give you the answer you were seeking, and so you came to a place where you're not sure if God cares or if he even listens. My guess is we've probably all wrestled with those questions. Does God really care? Does he even listen? Is prayer really worth my time? And there is a cost to praying, right? There's a risk. There's a risk of wasting your time. There's the risk of not getting the answer you want. And so there's the risk of being disappointed by prayer. And so what a lot of us do is we'll kind of take prayer and we'll just move it to the margins of our lives. And so instead of being something we do consistently that's important to us, it's more something we do like in desperate moments. It's like, it's not something I normally do, but I'm desperate enough, I might pray. What's interesting is if you look at the life of Jesus, one thing that becomes very clear is that he thought prayer was very important. Like, one of the things he did most was pray. Even when the crowds around him would gather and life became insanely busy, and if you read about Jesus' life, you'll realize his life was insanely busy. Even when the demands on him were high, he would sneak away consistently, regularly, so that he could pray. And he taught that prayer was vital. Like, there's this one time when Jesus healed a sick boy, and his followers, his disciples, they had tried to heal this boy but couldn't. And they're like, why couldn't we do that? And Jesus' answer is, because this only happens through prayer. It's like, you tried, but you didn't pray. The reason I can do these things is because I pray. Jesus believed that prayer really, really mattered, which is why his followers, his disciples, they wanted to learn from him how to pray. In fact, we have it recorded for us that they went up to him one time and they said, Jesus, would you please teach us how to pray? Here's what's interesting. In the Bible, we have four books that kind of go through the stories of Jesus' life. We call those books Gospels, which just means good news. So there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In those four books about Jesus' life, there is only one request that we have recorded for us that Jesus' followers made of Jesus, and it's this. They wanted to know, how do we pray? Which is fascinating, because they saw him preach, they saw him heal, they saw him calm storms, they saw him raise dead people. But we don't have it recorded that they ever asked him, how do I preach? How do we heal? How do we calm storms? How do we raise dead people? The only thing they asked was, how do we pray? It was like they could see that prayer was the source of Jesus' power. It was the source of Jesus' perspective. It was the source of this sense of peace that Jesus had, even in the chaos. And they realized, wow, there is a cost to us not praying. And we don't want to pay that cost. There's real benefits that Jesus is receiving from praying, and we want those for ourselves. And so they asked Jesus, how do we pray? And in response, Jesus taught them what's been called the Lord's Prayer. It's actually recorded for us twice in the Bible, once in Matthew and once in Luke. I suspect it's in there twice because Jesus probably taught it more than once. He probably taught it many times. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to look in Matthew's gospel at Jesus' teaching about prayer. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, that is not a problem. We'll put all the verses on the screen for you to read. If you don't own an easy-to-read translation of the Bible, or maybe you're like, I think I might have a Bible somewhere in the attic or something. We give out Bibles for free at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place. We'd love to give you one today. So Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5, Jesus teaches about prayer. Here it is. He says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they loved to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, for some of you, when I read those words, you know them, because you've heard them. In fact, you might have even grown up in church reciting them. And so, like, even to this day, you could say them without thinking. You could say them without thinking, which is exactly the opposite of what Jesus is trying to teach us, right? Did you notice that Jesus said this is how you should pray? He didn't say this is what you should pray. He was not trying to encourage them to say these words exactly, to recite these without thinking. He was giving them more of like a model or a template to help them get started thinking about how to pray. He says, this is how you should pray. So let's spend some time thinking about this because there is a cost for us to not praying. And so let's think about how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And I think we're going to find there are some like core dynamics about prayer. And I want to kind of point them out to you because they'll help us to learn how to pray more effectively. Okay? The first core dynamic I see is we need to pray authentically. We need to pray authentically. Remember how Jesus, before teaching them how to pray, there was this paragraph where he taught them how not to pray, right? There were two times he said, do not. This is what you shouldn't do when you pray. And so there's two kind of don'ts. First, he said, don't think of it as a performance for others. Don't think of prayer as a performance for others. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. So I didn't grow up going to church. First time I ever went was when I was 20. But and maybe you're like me. But maybe you've been in churches around Christians, and you've noticed that when they start praying, like their tone changes, and their demeanor changes, and the words they use change. First time I ever went to church, I was in Crystal River, Florida. I was 20 years old. I literally had never heard a person pray in my entire life. And this guy went up on stage to pray. He wasn't the pastor. He was just a guy who went to that church as a good old boy from Florida. And he started praying, first prayer I ever heard, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, thou is God, your righteousness is mighty, and we gaze upon thine holiness. And I went, huh? Like, what just happened? And so what I thought was, when you talk to God, you don't tell him your words, you read it from a book. He must be reading that from a book or the Bible, because he would never say thine the righteousness. But then he prayed this. He went, and Jesus, when we think of you up there on that there cross, and I went, oh, there are his words. He did not read that there cross from a book. He is praying his own words, but he's trying his best to be as religious as he can. And you maybe you've been around someone like that, you've been in a church like that, and you hear somebody pray very religiously, and you wonder, well, am I supposed to pray like that? Or maybe you've been to another kind of church. There's some kind of churches where when they pray, it's more like this. The prayer sounds more like, and Jesus, your righteousness, it's like a mighty wave. It's rolling, Jesus. It's rolling. And you're like, and sometimes that they might like jump up. They might bounce up and down on one foot while they pray. They're like, hey! And you see that and you're like, am I supposed to do that when I pray? Is that how you pray? And Jesus here, thankfully, he tells us, no, don't pray like that. It's not a performance for others, right? He says, pray authentically. Be true to who you are. The second don't that has to do with pray authentically, he says, don't worry about using all the right words. And there's the part where he says, don't worry about your many words. And isn't that good to hear? Because I think a lot of us wrestle with, like, I want to pray, but what words do I say? And what title do I say for God? And I want to make sure I do this right. And we struggle because we approach prayer kind of like, I want to impress God. I want to say the right magic words to make sure that, you know, my prayer works. And Jesus says, no. He taught us, don't pray religiously, pray authentically. In fact, he says, listen, God already knows what you're thinking. He knows what's on your heart. And so you don't have to worry about the words. He wants to hear from you. He loves to hear from you, like a parent would want to hear from their kids, but you don't have to pray the right words. That's a good thing, right? Pray authentically. The second core dynamic I learned here is we need to remember who we're talking to. We need to remember who we're talking to. So, you know, so often I think people approach prayer, and when they start praying, they start speaking conceptually about God instead of personally to God. And so they try to make some theological kind of statements or something. But Jesus' prayer begins, Father. Father, right? Not a theological statement, just a personal address, Father. And I know, trust me, I know that that can be a really complicated word for a lot of us, right? I hate that word. And I just want to encourage you, and this is something I've had to learn, don't let your earthly father form your view of your heavenly father, okay? Jesus said, Father, hallowed be your name. What he's saying is, you are a perfect father. Hallowed means different. He's like, you're not our kind of father some of us had that maybe makes us go, I don't know if I need another father. I don't feel comfortable talking to fathers. Jesus taught over and over, you have a perfect father. And he asks us, pray to your father in heaven. See, you're not praying to an abstract, unknowable God. The word father lets us know that God can be known. And when Jesus teaches us to pray, what he's basically saying is, listen, it's kind of like you get to be a little kid again. When you pray, it's kind of like you get to be a child who goes to this perfect, loving parent and lets the parent know what it is that you need and what's on your heart. Remember when you were a kid, like when you were real young, and like you'd be going to sleep and it'd be one of those nights where you'd be afraid of the dark, like you thought there was like a monster in your closet or a ghost outside your window or something. And so you'd call for your mom or your dad and they'd come running in and they'd let you know that everything was okay and you just had the sense of peace about it, right? I always felt safe because my mother would always be there for me until that night when I was afraid and I called my mom like I did every time and she said, Vince, you can't keep calling me in the middle of the night. You're 35 years old. I was like, yeah. So often, you know, we're afraid to talk to God. And Jesus says, no, remember who you're talking to. You're talking to a father who loves you. He loves you. And you can talk to him about anything you want, just like a child would talk to a loving father. That word father, I think it also should remind us that we're not in control of the answers, right? Sometimes parents say yes. Sometimes parents say no. Sometimes parents say not yet. Sometimes parents say go talk to your mom, right? They say different things. And that word father reminds us he's in control of the outcome, not me. What I found is for a lot of us, it's really easy to treat God like he's the drive-through window at a fast food restaurant. You know, my role is to kind of pull up and tell him what I want, and his role is to give it to me immediately, right? This is supposed to work like that. And so I kind of pull up, and I'm like, hey, God, I need a new job, and I need a girl to date, and I need to get rid of this athlete's foot. And then it's like, that's one job and a girl to date to no more athlete's foot. Please pull up to the next window, and you're like, sweet, right? And I get there, and God should answer. But that's not how it works. We're not praying to a drive-through window. We're praying to a Father who loves us more than we love us and who knows what's best for us. And so we can trust him. Second thing I learned is we need to remember who we're talking to. Third, we learn to pray bigger. We learn to pray bigger. I know for me, my prayers often revolve around this very small sphere of my personal concerns. So if you were to like listen in on me praying, it's about my wants, my desires, my plans, my pain, my problems. And Jesus begins the prayer kind of by saying, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a big prayer. That's a bold prayer. Too often, I wonder if we kind of, our prayers can be kind of calculated. You know, like I want to pray in a way that God doesn't have to answer if he doesn't want to answer, because I don't want to be disappointed if he doesn't give me what I want. And so what I want to do is I want to pray in a way that I give God an out. You know, like, God, you probably don't want to do this, and I'm not saying you should, but if it's your will, and I know it's not, and that way, like, if God doesn't answer, it's like, oh, I gave him an out, and, like, I don't have to worry. But that's not how Jesus presents prayer, right? He says, pray boldly, pray big, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's like he's teaching us to pray, Father, bring justice. Father, restore families. Father, end hunger. Father, protect children. Father, redeem lost souls. Father, lower the divorce rate. Father, improve education. Make education available to more people around the world. Father, end violence. End abuse. Big prayers. But we need to pray bigger. I once heard someone say, I like this. They said, what you're doing isn't really worth doing if you can do it without prayer. I like that. What you're doing isn't really worth doing if you can do it without prayer. That's how I want us to have like that kind of attitude as a church. As a church, I want us to pray big, bold, God-sized prayers. Like, God, we want to see your kingdom come down here to Las Vegas. We want to pray that. We want to be a part of making that happen, God. Bring your kingdom to Las Vegas. Like, as a church, let's pray like that. And that leads to another dynamic we see in this prayer. Fourth, don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask. Have you ever like wanted to ask God for something, but you didn't? Maybe you kind of hesitated. Maybe you felt like, I don't know. I don't know if it's the right thing to ask for. I don't know. It feels kind of selfish. I don't know, like, it's just such a small thing, and I realize God's got wars, these, you know, people are dying of starvation, and there's all, and I'm really going to pray about my little job. No. I don't know if you realize in this prayer, but mostly what it was a series of personal requests, right? Pretty small things. Give us this day our daily bread. God, can you make sure I get lunch today, right? Forgive us our debts. God, lead us not into temptation. Just very personal, kind of selfish, pretty small in the big scheme of things. First, and that's how Jesus teaches us to pray. And we see that example set all through the Bible. Just over and over, God's people pray prayers for themselves, for the things that they want and they feel like they need. Jacob asked God to bless him. A lady named Hannah asked God to help her to be able to have children. David asked God repeatedly to give him victory over his enemies. Solomon asked God for wisdom. We see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane ask Jesus to allow him to not have to go to the cross. And I wonder maybe if today some of us need permission to go there. Maybe you just need permission, and Jesus gives it to you. You can pray. You can ask about anything. There's actually a bunch of Bible verses, like I had to choose which one should I share because there's so many of them that tell us we can pray about anything. So here's one, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Isn't that good? Like it's saying, you don't need to worry because you can pray. Like if you don't know God, if you don't have a God, you're going to be anxious. But if you have a God who's in control and who you can trust and who loves you more than you love yourself, you don't have to worry. You can pray. And it's really cool. He says, says, in every situation you can ask. There's no situation that's like, man, maybe not this one. In every situation. Now, I can guess what some of you are thinking. You might be thinking, so I can ask. Like, I know we can ask, but that doesn't always mean we're going to get what we ask for, right? Like, we don't always get the yes from God that we want. That yes, that is true. In fact, if we think about it, I think we'd realize if everyone always got the yes they wanted, it would be chaos. It would be chaos. Because sometimes we ask for things we really shouldn't get. I've now got some history of living this life with Jesus, about 25 years, and I look back and I realize if God answered every prayer with a yes, my life would be a disaster. Like, there were so many things I'm like, what was I thinking? Why did I think that would have been good for me? But I did, and I'm glad God didn't give me a yes. But not only that, but there's just logical problems with the idea that God should answer yes to every prayer, and I think we understand that. Sometimes prayers are in conflict. People ask for things that are in conflict. For instance, if you were to go to a Giants-Dodgers game, there are two distinct prayers that are being prayed during that game for two distinct outcomes, right? God cannot answer both of those prayers with a yes at once, but that doesn't mean he doesn't want us to ask. He loves it when we ask. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want to hear from Dodgers fans. He loves Dodgers fans. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't want to hear from Giants fans. He has pity on their dark and sinful souls. Just calling it like it is. And I think all of us understand, like at a logical, rational level, we can go, yeah, I can see why God can't say yes to every single prayer. We understand that. I think the problem is when God doesn't answer yes to that one prayer. Right? It's that one prayer that you've prayed and prayed and prayed, and it's not all those prayers, it's that one prayer. And then when you pray it and you don't get the answer you're looking for a lot of people can lead us to stop praying. We stop because we just feel like, well, maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he's not listening. Maybe it's just a waste of my time. But listen, I want to encourage you, we need to keep asking. Because there is a cost to not praying. There is a cost when we stop asking. Jesus had a brother named James. James writes one of the books of the New Testament. The New Testament really made up of letters that were written, and we call them books. But so there's a book called James that James wrote. And in James chapter 4, verse 2, he writes this. He says, "You do not have because you do not ask God." You do not have because you do not ask God. And people read that and they wonder, what do you think that verse means? I think it means you do not have because you do not ask God. It's pretty clear. There is a cost to not asking. Because your prayers matter. Your prayers matter. If you don't like remember anything else from today, if you just take one thing home with you, I hope it'll be this. Your prayers matter. Your prayers about your family matter. Your prayers about your job matter. Your prayers about our church, they matter. Your prayers about your future matter. Your prayers matter. And I realize that we probably have questions about prayer that have not been answered today. We probably have wounds about unanswered prayers. But really, the thing that amazes me, and I think should amaze us, is how often God does answer prayer. I am a very skeptical person, and I'm just going to be honest, it's very hard for me not to be skeptical about prayer. Very hard. The problem, though, is I can't remain skeptical because God has answered so many prayers in my life in miraculous fashion. And I've told you a bunch of examples over the months and years, but I'll tell you two that I've never mentioned. So years ago, I lived outside of Washington, D.C. I was at my church, I was in a small group. And in our small group was a guy named Kevin. One small group night, Kevin showed up with his wife, and Kevin informed all of us, there's about 14 of us, that his unit, he was in the reserves, and his unit was being called up and was going to have to go to war in the Middle East. And Kevin didn't want to go. His wife really didn't want him to go. They were newly married, and you know, so we said, well, let's pray. And so we prayed and prayed that night that Kevin wouldn't have to go. The next week, his unit lined up, and their commander started calling off the names of everyone who was being called up to go off to war in the Middle East. And he read name after name, and as your name was called, you were dismissed, and you knew you were going. And he called everybody one by one until only Kevin was standing there, standing by himself. And Kevin said, "Excuse me, sir, my name wasn't called." And the commander said, "Oh, well, let me check." And he read through all the names again, thinking he had missed Kevin's. And he said, "Your name's not here. You haven't been called. You're not going." Kevin looked around and he said, "Why? Like, why would I be the only one in the entire unit who's not going?" And his commander said, "I have no idea." "I do. It's because we prayed. There's no other explanation." 2 years later, I guess, 2 or 3 years later, I moved to Virginia Beach, Virginia. I started a church there. And towards the end of our first year, like we were in like week 50, 51, and we had 68 people in our 51 weeks give their lives to Christ and get baptized. And so baptism is when kind of a celebration, a little ceremony of you giving your life to Jesus, putting your faith in him. And we announced, "Hey, we're gonna have the opportunity to do baptism, to get baptized on our anniversary, our 52nd week." And three people let us know that they wanted to be baptized. And I went home and I thought about it. And I said to my wife and later to the other pastor in our church, I said, "I know numbers don't matter. It's not about numbers, but each number represents a person. And it would just be cool if at the end of 1 year of doing this church that we started, if we had had exactly 100 people who had said yes to Jesus and gotten baptized." And I realized we've only had 68. We've got three, that's 71. Like, we would need 29 people to decide this week that they want to do that, get baptized. We average about one a week. That's not likely to happen. It's not going to happen, but we could pray about it. We should pray. And we all said, "All right," the three of us said, let's pray. And we prayed, and does anybody want to guess how many people got baptized, no joke, that Sunday? And we didn't tell anybody about it, exactly 32. And we had 100 people in our first year. Why? Because we prayed. And again, I know God doesn't always answer every prayer that way in miraculous fashion. I could tell you lots of stories where God didn't give me the answer that I wanted. God does not always give me miraculous answers, and I don't know why, but God knows, and I trust him. I've learned that I can trust him. And here's what I wonder, like, what if we hadn't prayed for Kevin to not be called to go serve? What if we hadn't prayed that 32 people would make the decision that week that they wanted to say yes to Jesus? What would the cost have been of not praying? So let me ask you, what do you need to pray for? Maybe it's something you haven't really been praying for. Maybe you need direction in life. Ask him. Maybe you need some healing in your life. Ask him. Maybe you have a friend or a loved one or a family member who right now really needs some help. Ask him. Maybe you need God to provide for you in a very specific, tangible way right now. Ask him. Ask him. Pray authentically, right, from your heart to you. Remember who you're talking to. You have a loving Father. He loves you more than you love yourself. Pray bigger. Don't be afraid to be bold. And don't be afraid to ask. I know it can be difficult to pray because there are barriers. I struggle with them too. But there is a much greater cost of not praying. When we don't pray, we miss out on that authentic conversation that we can have with a God who invites us to call him Father. But we miss out on developing that intimacy with God, with this God who knows your needs before you even open your mouth. With a God who is not asking you to pretend you're something you're not or to use special words. A God who says, you can pray big. A God who says, don't be afraid to ask. And the God who is hoping that you will give him some space to work in your life in the way that he sees best. Because you have a God who really does know what's best for you. And you can pray to him. So, we're going to give you some time right now to do that, to pray. We're going to give you like, I think about 4 minutes to pray. And during this time, we're going to have the band play a song, so it's not like awkwardly quiet, and you're like, oh, I need to sneeze, but it will be weird, or something like that. So the band's going to play, and we just invite you to pray. And I realize you might be like, I'm new to this, I don't pray. Try it. And you might recognize some of the words in this song from what we talked about today. And during this time, we also have communion available. If you'd like to make that part of your prayer time, we have communion on the tables around the room, which is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that remind us of Jesus' body and blood given on the cross for us, where Jesus opened the door so that we could have relationship with God and so that we could pray to him. And so if you'd like to take communion, you're welcome to do that. If you'd rather not, that's okay too. You can grab it, bring it to your seat, and take it when you're ready. Okay? So I'll just pray real quick, lead you into that time, and then we'll give you those minutes to whatever it is that you feel like, man, I need to be praying about. Here's a chance to start praying about it. God, I realize, because I have to live it, that there is an awkwardness at first, but for me, in a lot of ways, it hasn't ever gone away, to living the life that Jesus has for us. I lived for 20-some years not living that way, and so it feels new to me even still sometimes, and it's awkward to talk to someone that you can't see. There are barriers to this life. There are barriers to praying, but what we learn in your Bible, what we're learning in the series, is there's a greater cost to not. And so, God, would you help us to get past the awkwardness, to overcome the barriers, so that we can live the life that you're inviting us to live with you and for you. And God, would you help us to pray? Our prayers matter. They matter, and we have a God who loves us and like a loving parent is inviting us to talk to him. And so, God, would we take advantage of that? Help us to pray, even starting right now in these next few minutes. I'm sure we all have some things in our heart that we need to get out. And so, God, would you lead us to pray and help us to know that our prayers matter. Thanks for Jesus and the example he set of praying so often, and that he taught us how we can pray as well. And I pray all these things in his name.